Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to support now.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to another episode of Agents of Mace. Today we're getting ever closer to the finale of Jessica Jones. We're so close. I just want her to catch Kilgrave. I'm wishing that it would be over, but not because I'm not enjoying the rewatch, but because it's like, catch him already, you know? This episode is exciting. We get a couple familiar faces from other things, and I guess the biggest crossover episode, sort of, so to speak. And it does feel like things are finally, like, ramped up, right? Like, we spent this whole season kind of, it builds a little bit and then it goes down, and then it builds a little bit and then it goes down a bit. This episode was like, we are building it up for the finale. So hopefully episode 13 delivers as like an explosion of an episode, because it'd be kind of bummy if it didn't. But first thoughts, for
first
this episode.
Thoughts on my end are y'all making the right decisions here? You know, it's a very, like, we've got the insight now. It's kind of like we kind of have a good visual of what's going on in regards with, like, where Kilgrave's at and his knowledge. And then we spend a lot of time with Luke Cage in this episode, and we get some other little nuggets, which we'll talk about, that, you know, it excites me because it's like, where is this leading to? But because this is like a first time watch for me, because I never made it this far in this particular series, next episode could be like a deal breaker for me. Like, primarily dealing with the IGH, right? Because we haven't really talked much about IGH at all. They're kind of like spending a lot of time about that in this episode. And I'm curious to see, is it going to be brought up in next episodes? Is this what's leading into season two? Or is it just going to be like, oh yeah, it's just whatever, and then they just kind of like drop it? Like, I think that would be wasteful. It's to bring such a big thing in at the very end of a season. But you know, I like this episode because we're getting more in back into like the whole like detective side of things, trying to figure out like, well, where is Kilgrave, and like, right, you know, what's his plan? Who's does he have control over, and how is he using them? And so it was kind of cool because you're kind of getting this like, all right, we're kind of like, we're going to go after him. We can need all these, like, we kind of know what his objective is. But through the whole time, I'm just like, are y'all making the right decisions here? Are you thinking about this properly to get Kilgrave? Because, like, he is a man on a mission right now. And, like, if he pulls whatever he's doing off, like, it's going to be trouble.
Right. Well, it's also interesting because I'm trying to remember. I know that, you know, this has probably come up 3 or 4 times during our rewatch of this, but I can't remember what order. I know Daredevil was first.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then I think it was Jessica Jones. The other one was definitely last. And then Luke Cage. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it's like, okay, well, there are things that are being brought up in this show or this series that like could potentially be brought back in another series, mm-hmm. but don't necessarily have a ton to do with Jessica Jones. And you kind of see those, like, even for Luke Cage, right? You kind of see like the seeds being sown of like what his mm-hmm. powers are exactly and how they kind of work, but they're not like going into detail about them. So it's kind of like, oh, is this setting up for them to explain it in Luke Cage? And I kept thinking that, and then I kept thinking I need to look up which one first, but I'm glad glad you guys knew. Because yeah, it does feel that way. It does feel very much like they're setting things up that you're like, oh, is this going to be explained in the next episode? Or is this going to be in the next season? Or, oh, is this something that you're just explaining to us so we have a reference of it for mm-hmm. one of the mm-hmm. other series that may tackle it in a different way? So how about you, Elisa? First thoughts.
This one was, it was a little bit frustrating for me to watch because it looked like we were finally having some moving in a positive direction, at least as far as the happiness of our central characters goes. But it turns out to all be a lie. Spoilers. And I was like, can't we just... One thing would be great. If we could land on something that is nice and good, and it would actually stay nice and good. Could we? But also, this episode was... it was interesting. It definitely feels like a right before the big final showdown episode. And we get a pretty big final showdown at the end of this one that was surprising and really, really brutal, which we'll talk about soon. So I did enjoy this one, but I'm so ready. I'm so ready for us to have some semblance of a happy ending. I'm not expecting like your standard happy ending where everyone is actually happy, but an ending where good things have happened and goodness has prevailed for now. Looking forward to it.
Yeah. It's weird because so now we have two like super strength mm-hmm. heroes. And they're battling against like a mind control villain. And it just seems like, man, I wish one of you had any kind of mind powers, right? Like even a tiny one would help in this mm-hmm. situation. Or like, you know, I know that this is far predates Marvel having the ability to use mutants and stuff, but like just like a, you know, quick flip through the history books and see that like, oh, Magneto blocks stuff with a helmet. Like, mm-hmm. could that work for this? You know, I feel like they don't really try anything.
Right.
It's true.
To stop the power. They're just like, well, we can put him in a room. We know that. Mm. And his parents kind of told us that it's like a pheromone-esque thing. But also sometimes it works over the phone. So we're not really sure how that works. And I don't know. It just kind of seems like, why aren't they trying things? Why aren't we seeing them like experiment with ways to avoid being controlled by Kilgrave?
Yeah, we're getting the opposite in this. It's more like now Kilgrave's realized like, okay, I can do this stuff, but now I realize the limitations of it. Because mm-hmm. he just kind of has this carefree mm-hmm. moment where it's like, does it even matter what I tell people to do? It's going to wear off. Mm-hmm. Like, go stare at this wall for forever. Well, how long right. is, you know, we don't really know what forever is, like,
right.
in a sense, right? You know, he knows, like, okay, it's going to be, like, what, 12 days, and then they'll just forget. Like, it'll, mm-hmm. the effect is gone, and these people go on about their lives. But, yeah, I wish we could see the opposite of it. Mm-hmm. You know, it's almost like, it could. What if it was, like, I don't know. If both of the parents were still alive and they got split up. So you have Kilgrave trying to get one parent to be like, hey, you need to make my powers even stronger. And then Jessica Jones and the other parent are like, how do we stop this? How do we protect ourselves from it?
Well, it's interesting because they like, so he tells the guy to go stare at a wall, right? Or go stare at that fence for forever. Mm-hmm. And his dad's like, no, you can't do that. And he's like, it's going to wear off anyway. So it kind of seems like there's like a flip-flop too of like who knows how what power works. Mm-hmm. But also, since it's pheromone-based, if he just stood there, if Kilgrave stood next to that guy for 12 days, would it wear off?
Would it still? Yeah, would it? Yeah.
Or is it just because it's like a distance? He's so far away that like the effects wore
off? Yeah. I mean, that's kind of like the intro we get, right? You know, we kind of have this setup of like Luke Cage going after him and he gets under his control and doesn't like it. But Jessica just, she's just like, just sleep. Just stay here, sleep. Mm. You'll be fine. Which turns out like it doesn't really,
yeah.
It didn't really work out like that.
He's not fine.
no.
I don't know. It goes back to that like, I think this was my problem with the series when I watched it the first time, which it seems like they never really explain how the powers work. They give us like tidbits here and there, but mm-hmm. they don't really explain how it works. Mm-hmm. And then the stuff that they do explain, they constantly contradict. And mm-hmm. it's like, well, that doesn't mm-hmm. make sense, though, because you said that it does this, and now all of a sudden it does this other thing. Like, I still can't get over the phone stuff. Like, if it's pheromone based, how could he possibly affect you through a phone somewhere else?
How far away is it?
It's just
the phone?
Yeah, I wish right. that. Yeah, I think they should have just went down this path of like, it's just something in like the waves of his mm-hmm. voice that do it, because that way it would make sense to do it over the phone mm-hmm. or the radio or the TV. Like, as long as it's, his voice is broadcast. Right. That's
yeah.
What I like does
that would be a huge threat.
Yeah. It would make him more scary, right? Like he could,
right? Because he could be anywhere in the world, right?
You just get everyone through their TV.
Wouldn't
just
matter. Yeah.
Yeah, because then stuff
that just feel like and that alone, you know, to me, that just reminds me of like an old Adam West like Batman show, right?
Yeah.
Like it just kind of has that almost tackiness to it. Like we gotta turn off all the TV right. broadcast stations.
Oh. Great, Scott. I feel like some of this stuff is interesting too, because if it's pheromone based and it's not audio based, could he just mm-hmm. stand near you and write something on a piece of paper and hand it to you and you have to do it? Because like if you did plug your ears, I mean, like if you plugged your ears, can he affect you at all? Do you have to hear him physically say it? Because if not, like why don't they just, I mean,
right,
you know, I know Jessica Jones is a hero, but just like crush his voice box or something.
Yeah, but if you could read lips, then but you bring up a great point as well. It feels like, you know, they're relying so much on their super strength, you would think mm-hmm. that would be what they would go after.
Yeah, like put a mask on him so he can't talk or something to cover up his mouth. Like it just seems mm-hmm. seems like no one's thinking about that. They're just like, uh-oh, what can we do? Put him in a box. It's like, well, mm-hmm. you tried that. It didn't really work.
And all of this could be done in the next episode we don't know. Like people, listeners are just like
guys, let's... they put him in a mask at the beginning of the next episode. I don't know. The closer we get, the more things I remember, but I still don't really remember exactly how it winds up. So I'll be interested to see mm-hmm. again what happens, but I do feel like for there being more detective stuff and how much they like lean on the fact that Jessica is a private eye, you would think that there would be more mm-hmm. thought behind stuff. It's sort of like we're watching Batman. If Batman didn't ever really pause and think about like what could his next move be, it's just like Jessica's just go, 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 go. And it's like, no, but you like, that's your job. Your job is to be sneaky and think about things and figure out ways to catch people. And instead you're just like, how many people can I tell that I have him trapped here so that something happens and he escapes mm-hmm. or even the fact that like she knows how his power works, she knows how long the grasp can like hold you, and basically invites a invulnerable superhero who has been mind controlled into her apartment, and it's just like, ah, just take a nap. Like, he'll be fine. Like, come on now. We know just, that she knows better.
Yeah, I think so much of this is just that internal struggle of, I just want to kill this guy, but I know we need to put him through the proper, you know, legal procedural. So it's like, we're going to spend all this time trying to capture him and get him to do stuff and videotape it or document it, and then now we can show this to court and get him put away forever. But now it's just like, no, let's just get rid of this guy.
Yeah.
Right, yeah. Well, especially because, like, let's say they did catch him and they got a video and they took him to court. Is he not allowed to speak? Well, he's in court.
I mean, that's a big one, right? Because, like, it's like, yeah, if his power was completely this voice thing, you couldn't.
Maybe they could put him in, like, a little pod, like they had him in before. Like, a small, custom-made pod that they could wheel in at the beginning of every day. Like, have you been to, like, the sports stores and seen those little, like, pods for parents to sit in while they watch their kids' ball games?
Oh, yeah.
He's in there eating, you know, like the burrito that Elisa gave him.
Yeah.
The final moments of this episode would have been, like, ideal for, like, someone like Spider-Man to come into play. Because it's like, hey, Spidey, can you like, set up a camera for us? Like, right. Stay hidden.
Shoot some spider web on his mouth once we caught him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, let's talk about the big fight here. It's what we want in a superhero show, right? We want superhero people fighting superhero people. Unfortunately, it's two superheroes. And it's pretty rough, you know. I feel like you constantly forget that while Jessica Jones is super strong, that's kind of where her power ends. Like, she's not super tough. She's not durable. You know,
they briefly imply that she can maybe fly.
Yeah. Or shoot lasers from her eyes, I think is what somebody says. But yeah, like, Luke Cage is on, like, a completely different level. You know, he's super strong and also, by the way, invulnerable to, like, anything hurting his skin.
Yes.
So
now we learned how far that goes in this episode.
Right. Which, it is interesting because I feel like we learn, like, maybe a weak point for him that never seems to be addressed. You know, like, why doesn't he have, like, a metal hoodie that he wears or something? But yes, like, you know, spoiler alert, if you didn't watch the episode, why are you listening to this? But Jessica Jones has to shoot him in the back of the head with a shotgun to knock him out. So, you know, we know blunt force trauma, I guess, still affects Luke Cage. But it's interesting because when I think about the Luke Cage series, I feel like he gets shot a lot and they don't explain that away, right? Like, if he gets shot in the back of the head and the force still affects his insides, wouldn't getting shot with, like, a regular bullet still, like, hurt? Maybe not, like, pierce your skin, but it would still, like, yeah, it would, you exactly. know, be like a normal person right. getting shot with, like, a beanbag gun or something. It's not nice.
Yeah, like those rubber bullets that aren't supposed to, like, go into you. But still, like, if you get shot one of those things, it hurts. Those people who do get, like, huge bruises. Yeah,
I'm surprised that Luke Cage isn't just, like, a walking bruise. Like.
Mm-hmm. Especially, like, close-up shots, right? Like, shotgun, like, right up close. Right.
I'm surprised that he
could potentially
survive that. I mean, we have to know he survives it because he has a whole series coming up. But it is interesting.
Right. And for Jessica to spend the whole fight basically trying not to hurt Luke too badly because she knows that he's under Kilgrave's control, like, to end it with her shooting him is pretty rough.
Yeah, like, why didn't she, like, chloroform him or something? I mean, I get that she's in the middle of a fight.
Where do you get that?
I feel like she would have that, right? She's got all kinds of sneaky stuff.
There's
got
to be some sort of shady, like, back alley kind of place to snag some chloroform.
Drug dealer guy next door probably has some. Yeah.
Probably.
But yeah, you know, I feel like this moment has been, like, built up in the series, right? Like, you know, Luke was a bigger part of the beginning of the series. We saw him a little bit more. Then he kind of disappears. Then he kind of comes back. Then he disappears, and now he's back. Their relationship, I feel like, is an interesting one to begin with, because we know that Jessica was part of Luke's wife being killed. And do you think that in this fight, while, yes, he's under the control of Kilgrave, is there any part of that being fueled by that knowledge or that, like, anger?
Well, I think so, because he mentions it. He brings it up, so I got to think, like, that's probably something that's just deep down that's kind of, you know, adding to that, to the mix of stuff. But I think he cares for Jessica enough to, like, not want to, like, kill her, you know?
There's so also...
Oh,
I was going to say, like, now that Luke has, he fully understands what it's like to be under Kilgrave's control, maybe now he can truly forgive Jessica, because he knows that she didn't want to do that. That wasn't something that she had any real part of. And, like, whenever he said, like, the happy moment in this episode was whenever Luke said that he forgave Jessica, and that turned out to be Kilgrave controlling Luke, trying to make Jessica feel better and gain her trust. And I was so sad. I was like, good, I'm so glad that Luke is finally in a place where he can move on and move forward with Jessica, because there's clearly, like, something real there. Like, there's all this romantic tension between them, and they understand each other in, like, a really cool way. But, yeah, I think that maybe this experience where, unfortunately, he does happen to be attempting to beat Jessica to death is going to lead him to connect that idea that this is what Jessica went through whenever it came to what happened to his wife. So real forgiveness can happen.
So with that connection being made, I guess it maybe explained a little bit more of how Kilgrave's power works, because I was trying to figure out, like, what could Kilgrave have said to Luke Cage for him to act in the way that he did, right? Was he, you know, like, how specific was that ask? Like, I want you to be under my control and try to get close to Jessica, and when she's vulnerable, try to kill her. Was it something very, like, very complex? Or was it more like this power of suggestion where he's like, hey, aren't you mad at Jessica? Like, you should probably get revenge. And then that's why Luke Cage even brought up the wife thing, right? Because if he was just asked to kill her, then he wouldn't have even brought that up. Because as we've seen, right, those the people that have been asked to do stuff are just like, I have to do this. Like, I have to stab myself, or I have to jump off this cliff. It's never like, oh, I have to do this because I feel this way. So,
yeah. It's like, are they strong enough to just put on a show for Kilgrave to think he's still in control, but, like, final episode, they're going to flip it on him? And
yeah, like, is well, I mean, we have to imagine that Luke was under some amount of control. But, yeah, like, what if this is all a crazy ruse, and next episode we find out, like, ah, she didn't actually shoot him. It was a blank, and he's actually fine, and surprise, Kilgrave. Luke Cage is also immune. I mean, we still haven't really, they really haven't explained that. Like, are there other people out there that are potentially immune? And if he's able to boost his own power, because that's kind of like, that's what he's trying to do, right, with his dad. He's trying to figure out how to make himself stronger. Mm-hmm. So if he's able to make his power stronger, could it then reaffect Jessica, or is she just like flat immune to it?
See, these are the things we need to know. I mean, this is why they should have brought this is why mutants make so much sense in this world, is because they'll know that there's going to be one mutant out there that's completely immune. Doesn't matter how strong he is, like, they're the secret. Like, that's just, but yeah, who knows? I would expect, like, the way this series has been going, like, if he were.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
To get his powers stronger, I could see Jessica going back under his control. That would make sense for like a season two. Like, I'm curious to if it's going to be more of a let's leave everything on like a big cliffhanger style approach, or is it really kind of the setup for the Luke Cage series plus, and that's the other question is are we going to actually have some sort of a happy ending, or is it going to be something that's just kind of like, I don't know, he gets away and we're kind of stuck in this state of like, we got to capture Kilgrave.
Yeah, I mean, he would make a good fill-in for the Defenders series. I don't even remember if there were... I think there were, like, multiple seasons of some of the shows before Defenders even came out. So we may even get season two of Jessica Jones before Defenders. Mm-hmm. So, I don't know. I mean, again, I feel like they had this grand plan for these series, and it kind of got shoehorned at the end. Which kind of stinks, and I hope that when they bring back Daredevil, maybe they, you know, try to revisit this world that was already set up in a way that, like, maybe we don't have to retell all of it, but we can kind of be like, hey, remember these things? These are all canon. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Because I do think that these characters have, like, interesting stories, and they're cool villains that could easily pop up again here and there. And would be fun to see like what the Marvel Universe does with them. Like, say Kilgrave comes back, are they gonna like lean into comic accurate Kilgrave and he's gonna be purple?
Mm-hmm.
Probably not, but maybe. I don't know. I feel like they've been doing that more and more. They've been like, how can we slip in more comic accurate stuff? Mm-hmm.
Like, are we even gonna see, you know, will the official Nuke make an appearance before we wrap this up, or are we going to see this character in season two or anywhere down the line? So I almost wonder, would it have made more sense? Like, could Nuke have been a bigger play at the fight scene, you know?
And that almost seems like it could be its own series, I mean, right? Like,
right. I mean, it is, I feel like that character was set up more like we've talked about, like more of like an Easter egg to a potential standalone series.
Yeah, because it's definitely like, I mean, everything is there. Everything is right in front of us for that to be turned into something. And I, again, I like, it's been so long since I watched all these, so I can't remember if he comes back in The Punisher or not. But like, I don't really remember him being in any of the other series. So it does feel like a, like here's an Easter egg nod to something that we'll do in the future. And then they just never really got around to it.
Right.
So I don't know.
That or like Nuke would potentially be strong enough where Kilgrave could utilize him just to get away. Like, he knows that Jessica's going to have to fight him for quite a while, and that's plenty of time for him to.
Or even, like, take control of the doctors that have all those pills, right? Like, if Kilgrave got into that plant and took it over and was like, all right, I'm going to build an army and make them all take these red pills so that they all go crazy. Like, this is what makes Kilgrave such, like, a scary villain. That he can.
But even on that, like, makes Nuke feel like one of those, like, sub villains where it's like the Avengers have to show up to stop him just from doing that kind of stuff. Like, just like one of those, you know?
Electro. Right? He's like just a big enough villain to be a problem, but not so big that anyone serious needs to show up and to deal with him. They're just like, yeah, he's there. He's. We just send him to jail every now and then.
They're like, we could send the Punisher after you, but we know what would happen there, and we're not for that.
Well, I guess, you know, I'm excited to see how it wraps up. I'm excited to see what happens to Luke Cage. You know, this could be like, this could be in the future from his series. Maybe his series takes place as more of like a intro to him and his powers, and the end of the Luke Cage series is him being in a coma from being blasted in the back of the head by Jessica Jones. I don't know. I don't remember. But I do feel like we are at a point where something big is going to happen next episode. I feel like they've built it up too much in this episode for it to be like, oh, he just gets away. Like, somebody's going to die in the next episode, right? Could
maybe.
I mean, Kilgrave kind of has anyone to.
Fingers crossed, but
you probably want it to be Kilgrave.
I mean, you know, it's going to be a character, a named character. I don't think it's just going to be a bunch of randos. I mean, that may happen too, but I feel like at this point, we're you know, too far gone with everyone has reached their like max potential for what they can do in this series. And now there's one episode left where everything has to be resolved. So
yeah, I want the conclusion, or I want more on this whole IGH. So I want to, like, I'm very curious in the next episode if we're going to, you know, get a look at the documents and to see like who's, you know, are, and this could be another moment where looking through these documents, we're going to see they could show the names of like other superheroes, like, oh, all of these heroes are associated with IGH. That kind of like leans into like all these future projects. Is Luke Cage in that list? Is his origin tied in with that?
I mean,
yeah, hopefully they'll do something cool there.
It could be a cool Easter eggs thing, or maybe, again, you know, it could be, we could see something like that where it's like a list of heroes' names that maybe they were like, oh, we're going to do this series eventually. Cause I think we've gotten a few Easter eggs in this series for things like Hellcat and I think in one of the shots, there's like a Rand building in the background setting up Iron Fist. Not really setting it up, just like a nod to the future. And it's weird watching these now, right? Because we know that, like, okay, well, yeah, there is an Iron Fist show. So those little nods are kind of more like, well, yeah, we know what you're saying. But again, it's this I think the good thing about the Marvel Universe that not many of the other comic universes out there have is, like, their story and the world building is there. They, like, take the time to build not only the characters, but, like, the world the characters live in. And these Netflix shows are no exception. Like, they spent so much time mm-hmm. setting up what the world is like post, you know, the New York Avengers event. And then they set up these characters and all of these, like, complex crossover mm-hmm. stories with, like, people that you don't even like, right? Like Hogarth. Not a huge Hogarth fan. But that story is, like, so deep and has so many levels and has turned into, like, its own thing that
yeah.
I feel like they can't not bring some of this up in the Daredevil series that Disney is doing. Especially knowing that, like, 90% of the cast from these Netflix shows has been recast as these characters. It's like, all right, like, surely this is going to be, even if it's like this is the multiverse Earth 12, whatever, you know, I hope that we I hope that they don't forget what these series did and what they set up or were trying to do. And that could potentially lead to more fun, almost like B or C list characters. Like, you know, She-Hulk, great. It was so much fun. Moon Knight was really cool. I hope that we get more of those characters that I feel like the Netflix universe would have done Moon Knight, right? Like, that almost seems like it would have fit in perfect with those. So,
yeah,
I hope that they keep doing that.
Oh, yeah.
Even if it's not,
it feels like
you know, yeah. we don't have to be building up to Midnight Suns or, you know, something crazy. Just give me cool characters that, you know, maybe we didn't know about before. And now we're all like, oh, cool, this guy's cool. And, you know, keep at it with the scary villains because it makes you more on edge, right? Like, I don't know that I've been on edge in a Marvel anything as much as this series. Like, just almost creepy.
Yeah. Yeah.
But one more episode and then we'll have all of our answers. Probably not, but we'll have some answers. It is a Marvel property, you know. They give you one Probably answer not. And then they give you eight more questions.
At least one answer.
Any final thoughts for this episode?
Yeah. I mean, I'm going to stick with I need to know more about IGH. That's my final thought is, like, why tease us on episode 12? Like, this could have been, I don't know. This could have been something a little bit bigger. That, like, this could have been something mentioned at least, you know, a handful of episodes early on. And you have kind of, like, you know, Jessica's trying to get Kilgrave. And then you get other people trying to figure out IGH and all come together. So they kind of, like, realize, like, oh, this is, like,
yeah.
the world. Now we know we need to stop it or, you know.
Right.
And maybe that season two. Maybe season two is all about,
it could also be one of those,
you know,
things
finding
that, like,
who runs IGH.
Now,
and
maybe we catch it in a couple episodes. Daredevil, IGH could easily be a Defenders issue that we're, you know, we're going to slowly learn a little bit here and there as they introduce these characters and figure out ways to, like, cross their paths. I don't know. I'm really enjoying it. I'm excited for Jessica Jones to end so that we can figure out which one we want to watch next. Cause I was like, man, I forgot how cool these shows were. But speaking of shows, be sure to listen to our next episode, because we'll be doing Groot probably. That comes out this week or next week? This week. All right. So, yeah, keep your ears out for I Am Groot
Wednesday.
Season two, hopefully some sort of crossover with the Marvel Universe. I don't know. I'm really hoping for, like, a giant Groot from the end of Guardians 3 episode. I want King Groot, whatever they've been calling him. That would be cool. I doubt we'll get that, but, you know. Not that I'm against Baby Groot doing things. That's fun and fine. But give me some, like, you know, bulky Groot or teenage Groot or... I don't know. There's a crazy Groot story in the comics where he, like, goes back to his home planet and finds out there's, like, an evil mastermind growing, like, genetically enhanced versions of Floral Colossus. He has to fight them all, and it's crazy. Like, give me that story. You know, I doubt it, but give me...
I feel
that'd
like
be great.
I feel like we could easily get like maybe a teenage the ship, Groot like video game everyone. Episode.
There's fights going on. He's just walking around playing his Game Boy. I'd love it. So be on the lookout for that. That'll be our next episode, and then we'll go from there. We'll talk about what we're gonna do after that. So we got a movie coming up soon. Not soon enough, but soon. That's right. Yes, I've already been on the lookout for it.
Right.
Be we sure have a book coming out this week, yep. too.
If you don't want to buy it, which I don't know if you wouldn't want to buy it, you should go buy it. But if you don't want to buy it, support your local library. Go get it from your library. Big library advocate here. You can see all of my comics that I read every week on our social media. So follow us on social media as well. And yeah, mm-hmm. I think that's it.
Did we want to talk about the recent announcement of delays at all? I mean, it's kind of a bummer.
It is because
this just happened. I guess on one side, it puts us in a position where we know this year is really going to be legacy catch up.
Yeah.
Because we have Echoes moved into next year.
It's isn't it done?
If it was already done and they were going to release it all at once... I feel like moving that into next year just means like it would probably get canceled.
Right.
And I think what's worrisome is like, you know, Daredevil didn't even get like a date change. It's just, they just paused it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we don't really know what the state of that's going to be at this point.
And I don't know.
Do we even know how far? I guess
they like have to because of the strikes. If they can't have any writers or actors, then I guess out of necessity, they would have to pause it if they were still in pre-production.
Yeah.
And I think with Echo, I think it was scheduled to come out really close to the Marvels, and they thought that if they released them at the same time, that it would distract from Echo and it would give it its best chance of finding its own audience. So at least I kind of get that. And I also get if they're just trying to spread out things, if they know that they're not going to have anything new for a while because the strike is still going on.
I know, I don't know if you guys saw, but I recently saw that... Marvel animators, like VFX animators, and I think just all of their animators are unionizing as well. So that could put a pause on animation stuff, or even, you know, maybe just a hiccup in animation stuff. I don't really know. I haven't seen anything about how that's going. I just saw that little news blurb the other day. So that, I mean, it could be that too, right? Like they filmed everything for Echo. Echo's ready to go, but they're doing the last bit of visual effects work and maybe that got held up in this or it just seems like if you have that done, I get not wanting to overshadow or undershadow, I guess, with the Marvels. But, you know... Just instead of releasing it all at once, turn it into a week-to-week thing. You know, like who's really going to complain? That's how Disney Plus has been doing all their shows anyway. So I could see people being like, but you said, but like, so what? Like, you know, I would love another week-to-week show, Marvel, please. So
yeah,
it just seems like, you know, let the movie come out, give it 2 weeks, and then start releasing week-to-week episodes. Uh-huh.
Yeah, I'm also curious if they're going to maybe release Ms. Marvel on like Hulu or something to try to get more viewers on that, because anytime I see the trailer in a movie theater, I always try to kind of listen into people around me if they're like questioning like, oh, who's that? Like, where do they come from? Things like that, you know? And I thought that that was such a fun show. Like, I don't see why they wouldn't want to kind of try to get more viewers on it before the Marvels comes out.
And I wonder if they're going
to
address it all in the movie. Like, are they going to do like a quick recap?
I'm not sure. I'm trying to avoid as much, you know, what do they say? Like, the Marvels going to be the shortest movie. Which, you know, everyone's going to
that sounds promising.
Take that as whatever they want. But
yeah, I mean, you know, I feel like I don't want to like theater brag, but I feel like I can expect a quick recap of everything because we'll probably go see it at Alamo Drafthouse. So if you have an Alamo Drafthouse, go see it there.
Yeah,
they always do fun. Like, get there 30 minutes early and you will watch the most fun and entertaining content about whatever you're there to see leading up to it. So I know that there will probably be like a quick recap. Mm-hmm. So like my wife, who didn't watch the series, can, you know, she'll be brought up to speed before the movie starts. But I wonder if they'll do anything in the movie to explain it. Because, yeah, if you didn't watch the show, I don't know that you need to know everything leading up to where we are. But this seeming like cosmic thing that's making it so they keep switching places, it sort of seems like you'd at least need to explain why Kamala has the cosmic abilities that she has.
I feel like that's where the family comes in. Like, it'll probably be the family.
I want it to be like a comic
doing the
like
catch-up.
Her little anyway. Comic drawings and stuff. I want it to be like that.
Yeah. Right. I would too. More of that would be awesome. Like, that would be a fun intro.
We'll see. But yeah, like,
even if they kind of split it up and like you're kind of getting three different point of view intros.
Right.
You know, since we're dealing with the Marvels, like, you want to know where each of them have been, like, what have they been up to?
Even in the trailer, you kind of get the hint of like what Kamala's doing and what Rambo is doing. But what's Captain Marvel doing? Like, right. We have no idea what she's doing.
Floating around space.
Yeah.
And she grew her hair out.
Yeah, throwing her hair out.
But like, who and why? So, yeah, that'll. I mean, it'll be a fun movie for sure. But yeah, now I'm really excited that we're going to do more legacy stuff because I want to continue our X-Men stuff. So be on the lookout for that, listeners. But yeah, bummer about the delays. Hopefully. It's just delays, no cancellations. I mean, it would be wild if they were like, never mind, Echo's done. Like, that would be crazy. It's done. It's ready to go, potentially, almost.
But they've been doing that. Not necessarily Disney, but at least not that I've heard. But some streaming places are throwing out products that are completed. And just not releasing them.
Yeah. What like even if you didn't make all your money back, you would at least make some money back.
I don't know.
Just toss it out, like, there goes all that work for nothing. I know that Disney, and this is a side, but I know that Disney was working on the Spiderwick Chronicles, turning that into a series, and they've canceled that officially to focus on other properties like Percy Jackson, which I was never a Spider Chronicles kid, so I don't. I'm fine with that. I was a Percy Jackson kid, so please focus on that. Don't cancel that, Disney Plus. I'm so excited for that series. But it is disheartening to hear that, like, you know, something that could have been a cool series got canned before it even like fully took off the ground. So
Boo.
Apparently they can use it as a tax write-off when they do that.
Yeah.
So that's terrible.
Right. Well, a bummer note to go out on, but, you know, Jessica Jones is a dark series, so we're going out on a dark note. Join us next week where hopefully Jessica Jones will take back the light and give us a happy ending. I won't get anyone hope up, but yeah.
Yay, bye.
I know. We're just all sitting here like fingers crossed.
Yes. And I'm ready to type it
out.
Need
a question for this week before we wrap up.
Oh.
I just don't know if I have a question off the top of my head.
I will say... We could just go easy this week. We'll give you all an easy question. What upcoming Marvel property are you most excited about? And if you want to elaborate, tell us why. But this will be your softball question, and we'll come up with like a really good thinker question for next week. And the answer is for last week's question. but yeah, yeah, exactly. but yeah, so
just remember what it was.
Let us know on social media. What's your, what upcoming Marvel property are you most excited for? And if you want to elaborate, please elaborate. So that'll be our question. You can hear our answers next week. You can see our social media posts from our questions, answers from last week, as well as what comics we're reading, what kind of fun things comic related we're up to. Follow us on social. See you guys next week.
Bye.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.